episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm Craig Norman. I'm happy to be here. Diane, how are you?
Good.
Good. Diane, the weather's getting a bit cold. They claim it's a polar vortex. Do you have any idea what a polar vortex is?
No, but I think it will feel like that.
Yeah, we've had a ton of snow here. It looks like an old-fashioned winter. To me, it's just another wonderful opportunity to play basketball indoors. So, I bundled up, and I'm hoping the team has as well. We got a big show today. We're going to start, we'll start with recapping what happened in our past week. Then we have a Meet a Gator segment. We're going to have Layla Mahoubi in, a second-year student-athlete from Quebec City. And then we're going to preview our upcoming games this week. So this past week, we had a couple of key games, all right? And we're in a part of our schedule where we have back-to-backs against all the opponents in our league, and we faced UCAM. All right, the team we're battling with for the last playoff spot for this year. And, we went down there Thursday night, and we opened up the game on a positive note. We were up 24-4. I thought we should have been up 30-4.
Yeah.
We kind of lost momentum in the second half. They started to claw their way back. We were up 12 at the half. I think at the end of three quarters, what was it? Were we tied or we were down one?
We were down one.
We were down one going into the third, so UCAM managed to wrestle back the game from us. And then they pulled away in the fourth, and we were close going down the stretch, but we lost, 78-73. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
On the road. All right, it was devastating loss that pulled them even with us. I felt that we couldn't have played any worse. We're still in a transitional phase, trying to transition two new players into our lineup. They're experiencing this league for the first time, and all these gyms are very unfriendly environments, and we just didn't rise to the occasion in that game. It was a great first start, but we just seemed we were outworked. UCAM put forth way more effort. They won all the 50-50 balls, and they punched us right smack in the nose. And we were not happy with that performance. Diane, what did you think of that performance?
Well, I think because we were winning by so much in the first quarter, the girls started to relax too much. And then still by the end of the third quarter, we're still in there. We were down just by one, so the girls still felt like, okay, we're still in this. And then when it was too late, that's when they tried to, let's say, give more, and then we ended up losing by just 5 points.
I tell you, as a coach, there's certain things that happen sometimes that tend to repeat themselves in sports. And one thing with basketball is that when you get a big lead at the beginning of a game, it doesn't happen 100% of the time, but it happens time and time again that your team relaxes and you start settling for shots that you shouldn't be settling for. You start taking possessions off on the defensive end, and it starts setting a precedent that, this possession we could take off, and one leads to another, which leads to another, which sometimes opens the door for your opponent to get back in the game. And that's exactly what happened. So it was another lesson to be learned. I know coming back on the bus, it was disheartening. I had no idea what we were going to do to regroup for the Saturday. We went down there Thursday night, and we're in a tough position. We go down on Thursday nights to play these games. Then we got to travel back. We get back at midnight, 1 in the morning, and then we're scheduled to practice at 11 the next morning. I was adamant that we needed a day off. Our captains managed to convince me that we were going to practice the next morning at 11, and it was a great character check for us, and I think it said a lot about the captains. They were like, no, let's get back on the floor, and we had a great practice the next morning, and we regrouped, and we came out on Saturday night playing UCAM again, and now our backs are up against the wall, because if they win, they're taking over the fourth and final playoff slot in our conference. And they took a 7-2 lead to start the game. End of the first quarter, it was 20-13 for us. I think we were up 35-30 at the half. Yeah. I think going into the fourth, it was tied or one-point ball game. I think they took the lead late in the fourth, and then we managed to play well down the stretch, something that we haven't done for a long time. I think our team's starting to come together. Amos Siciliano hit a big three with about a minute and a half to go to put us up two, and then Michelin Gabadis, you know, scored twice at the rim, and we managed to squeak out of there with an 80-77 victory, which was huge. So now we're back in a playoff spot, and you know, I hope to God it doesn't come down to our last game against UCAM. But you know, I think it's gonna be push and shove the rest of the way, and we're gonna have to find a way to win some more ball games and solidify our berth in the playoffs. But I really like the way the girls responded on the second night, Diane.
Yeah, like right after our game on Thursdays, the girls were shocked a bit by the loss because they knew it was a game that they had, but they just let it slip away. So then they knew, they thought about like the importance of every possession, how we can't take any possessions off, and then they made it their missions to win that game on Saturday. And it wasn't pretty, but at the end we did get the win, and it was a big win for us.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I thought they really, you know, I felt the difference in our timeouts. The kids were dialed in. They were listening. They were focused. I, you know, our execution was poor at times, but when we needed it, we got what we, you know, we got the ball in bounds late. We got it to a foul shooter mode, who was fouled, and she only managed to knock one out of two, but we didn't turn it over. Yeah. I thought we were still making mental mistakes where if we just tidied up that part of our game, like we had, we fouled at the end of the half. Yeah. We had some, we didn't manage the clock well at the end of clock. We turned it over carelessly. Otherwise, that, I think we walk away with that game. We have a 10 to 12 point advantage. But you know what? It's part of growing up. Diane, maybe you can go over our top scorers in both games and maybe, you know, top rebounders. I know Maria Verdin Berouet was named the female athlete of the week at Bishop. She had two monster games. She had 18 points, 15 rebounds on the first night. Then I think she went 13 and 11 on the second night. Is that correct?
Yes.
You know, what other notable, like, I know some of the stats for the second night. Like, we, like, for the first time, we had some balance in our lineup. I think we were led by Maud Archambault with 21, right? Then Emma had 16. Ashley and Mitch had 15, and Marie had 13. 15, the only problem there is they scored all 80 of our points.
Yes.
We didn't get 1 point from our bench, so that's an issue that we're going to talk about in the final segment. How about the first night? Who were our leading scorers on the first night down at UCAM?
So our first night we had Amakin with 21 points. Marie had 18 points and 15 rebounds, and Mold had 17 points and 7 rebounds.
So you know what? We had some good individual performances. You know what? When it comes down to it, Diane, our systems, and this is a coaching thing, you know, our team defense has been poor, but you know what? We're starting to score the basketball.
Yes.
All right? And I think if we can tighten up our team defense, and we've been working on that this week, which is hopefully we'll see a turnaround in that aspect. Now, what other games happened in our conference this week that are of note?
So on Thursday, McGill went to Concordia and they won 63-58. And then Concordia went to McGill on Saturday and Concordia won 59-47.
Okay. So what are the standings in the league right now? Do you have the standings?
Yes.
Maybe
so
you can just review the standings and maybe some of the statistical leaders in our conference.
So right now, Laval's in first place. They're 7-0. Concordia second, 7-2. McGill third, 4-3. And we're in fourth place, 2-8. And UCAM, fifth place, they're 1-8.
Okay. Do you have any statistical leaders?
Yes.
Let me just touch on the top 10. The top 10 comes out, and I just received it. So we'll go through the top 10 in the country. Still number one from Quebec is Laval, and they're ranked number one in the country. Number two is Ryerson. Number three is McMaster. Concordia drops from 2 to 4 because they lost to McGill this past week. All right, number five is Saskatchewan. Number six is Ottawa. Number seven is Calgary. Number eight is Carleton. Number nine is Regina. And number 10 is UPEI. So, Quebec still has two teams ranked in the top four with Laval at 1 and Concordia at 4. Did you find those statistical leaders?
Yes.
So what do we got? Like, do we have anybody up there in the conference and leading in the like in the top five of scoring or top five of rebounding?
Yes. So for scoring, we have Mode in third place. And in rebounding, we have Murray in second place with 11.4 rebounds per
What
game.
What is Mode averaging, if you don't mind me asking?
She averages 15.8 points per game.
Wow. Now, that's, you know, so we got two people in you know, in almost near the top of the statistical leaders in rebounding scoring. So that bodes well for us. And those two are playing tremendous basketball. That just about wraps up our first segment. We're going to be right back with Layla Mahoubi in a Meet a Gator segment. Try to give you consolation. Welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We're sitting here with Layla Mahoubi. Layla, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Layla is a second-year student-athlete who's studying biology, health sciences, correct?
Correct.
At Bishop's University, which, you know what? That takes a lot of discipline to balance that and playing basketball at this level. And Layla was an academic All-Canadian last year, which to me is just so huge and talks about her character and her dedication and her commitment to athletics and academics. To be an academic All-Canadian, you have to be on a varsity team at the U Sport level and you have to maintain an 80 average. Layla, I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about what your studies are like at BU and what you're studying.
So right now I'm studying in a health study, biology.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I do pretty much bio class that in the future will lead me to either medicine school or physiotherapy, all the thing that's related to health, pretty much. So that's what I'm studying right now.
So is that your goal? Is you wanna get your undergraduate degree from Bishop's and you haven't quite figured out which avenue you're gonna take yet?
Not yet, but like I know it's gonna be with health and sports, so that's my two goals.
So you've got, from what I understand, you got about an 88 average in the classroom. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're pretty well set in terms of, you know, like maybe determining where you're gonna go. I think any school will probably jump on the bandwagon there. Now when are you going to graduate? Are you going to take 3 years or are you going to take 4 years?
Well, right now with my course, if I take like four class a semester, I'm looking for 4 year. And I'm doing also a minor in sports studies. So that's my goal to finish.
In 4 years?
In 4 years, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you're well on your way now. I know this past summer you worked extremely hard. You stayed in the area. All right. And you managed, I think, to hook up with one of the hospitals and do some research there. Is that correct? And,
yeah.
And get paid. Can you talk a bit about that opportunity and how that came about?
Yeah, of course. So Bishop works with Sherbrooke University.
Yeah.
And they send us a list of studies that they're doing, the research and their teacher and doctors that are interesting to have some internship with them to work in the summer. And Keith got me the email. So I looked at some studies that I found interesting. I gave them my interest. And then they reached back to me and told me, so come do an interview with us. So it turns out that the first interview I had was the one that I really wanted to do the study with and do the research. I got the interview and the next day he told me that I got the internship. So that's how I got it.
So do you think that you worked at the hospital in the summer and do you think that that's going to, it was helpful with what you're studying and maybe where it's going to lead you in the future?
Yeah, of course, because when we're studying right now, I do labs. Like I have a lecture class, but I also have a lab class that is linked the two class together. And yes, it helped us and to figure out new technique and method to do. But it's not the same thing when you're out there in the hospital. It's in, and that's for every kind of study. Like, let's say you you want to study in finance, but it's not the same thing what you learn in class and what you're in real work. So that's really helping me.
It's kind of a neat thing because I think in the classroom it's more theoretical, and you saw it up close and personal, right? So you can probably connect the dots and see like how what you're learning in the classroom and how it's going to relate to in the field of employment.
Exactly.
Now, I know you were also around this whole past summer, and I know you worked tremendously hard on your physical preparation and your skills. Can you talk a bit about how you managed that with the job? Like, you know, I know you were in the gym early in the morning, like, maybe you can talk to people about how hard you worked physically.
Yeah, I work hard this summer and away from my family, but at least I have Maud, Mitch, and Dadu with me. And so a day with me was like, I woke up at 5:15. I ate a breakfast. Then Maud came and get me. We did the running workout with the football guys, and Mitch was there too. And then I got to work 8 to 3 or 4. Straight to work. I came back to Bishop, and we did like a 45 minutes workout to an hour with Diane basketball wise. And after that we did the lift. So I was pretty working out like maybe 3 to 4 hours a day.
You know, and I was going to comment, like, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I saw you in the gym doing your front lunges, your back lunges, and you had way more weight on the bar than most of the other girls, you know, and it doesn't go unnoticed. And I think your technique as well. So I think, like, have you noticed a big difference in your strength and your body type since you've been working out for the past 2 years?
Yeah, a lot, especially when I came the first time I work out in the gym at Bishop, and right now it's a huge difference. Like, I was one of the weakest on the team last year, and now I think I'm pretty strong, but the summer really helped a lot.
Now, can you, from your perspective, can you talk a bit about some of the challenges our team has faced this year and maybe some of the challenges you faced as an individual this year?
Yeah, but I think our team, like, spirit-wise, is one of the best team I've got to, and that's good for us, but can also be, like, a challenge for us, because When we want to, like, compete, let's say, in practice, sometimes it's tough, but we have to, because in the game, it will reflect. Like, if we have adversity during the game and we don't practice, like, compete, it's going to be tough to, like, to deal with it and go at it and perform. But right now, I think that's a bit our challenge. We see that we can win the game, but then we freak out, and then we don't know what to do. And that's why it's important in practice to really compete and to be focused. And that's what I think. And individually, I think we're challenging to deal with everything at the same time. It's a lot on our body, on our mind. So, I think,
you know, it's a long, hard season, eh? And there's a ton of ups and downs. I agree with what you're saying. I it's hard to go at it every day in practice. I've never been around a team either that, like, the team seems to really like one another. And I think that we're young, like, we're fairly young, you know, and I don't think we understand that once we get on that court in a practice environment that we've got to put those friendships aside, and now we're competitors, right? And then we can pick it up after practice. But I do believe it's coming. I think we've been practicing better lately. Now, what do you think that your role is on this particular team right now?
I think my role is pretty similar as last year. I think I have to give a good example to what a teammate looks like and an athlete should be, on the court, but also outside the court. So I have, I think, a good work ethic, and I'm good with school, but also to bring intensity and to be loud on the court and practice, to compete with the girls, to give them challenge so that there's not always competing with the same thing and they can figure out new stuff. So
now, I know we discussed this briefly before we went on the air, and I'm wondering how, you know, sometimes athletes have to get their needs met in different ways. I know you haven't had a lot of time on the court this year, and I'm wondering, you know, and that's a reality for some of the best athletes in the world. All right, Michael Jordan was cut from his high school team. All right, I know I played for Keith Cobalt in grade 10 in high school, and you can ask him. I didn't get off the bench some games. And my first year at Dawson College, I was an All-Canadian at Dawson in my third year. My first year, my dad came to see me play, and I didn't get on the court. My dad said, "What's going on?" And I'm wondering, you know, how do you manage to get your needs met as a student athlete at this level and fight through some of the adversity you've faced? Because I think it's a huge story to tell.
Well, obviously, we're 12 players that want the same thing, but there's 5 spots in the game at the same time. So our needs, what we want, really want, won't necessarily be met all the time. So how do I manage to fight through? I think it's part of who I am. I think it's in my character. I don't really like the easy path, but I don't know. Yeah. All my life, I have to work, so I believe in life, and I believe that I am here for a reason, and that's why I fight every day.
You know, I think that you become a fabric of the team, and I think like any other athlete this year, you've had your ups and downs, and I don't know what's happened this past week, but you seem to have been reborn a bit in terms of just your ability, like you're focused and you're competing and you're getting down and you're getting involved in the play. And I'm wondering, has something happened? Like, or you, I don't know. Can you explain what's going on?
When I came back to Christmas, it was really tough. It was not easy on both sides of my family, my father and my mother. So I had a choice to make. I was either going to cry and say, poor me, or I had to bounce back and fight through. And I think that's what's going on. Like, family helped me a lot with basketball, but basketball also helped me to deal with what I have in life. So that's my escape a little bit. And I think I really want it. I understand why I'm doing. Working hard. I mean it. I really, everything I do for me really have something significant for me. So, and I want for the girls too, and for the team, and for the program. So that's
what's going on. The program is grateful, and I think you've earned everybody's respect. And I'm happy to see the fight in you, and you are contributing. All right, and today, I think, was by far your best practice. I think, too, the last 2 days, it was good that we spent some extra time at the end of practice. Yeah. You know, like with some of the kids. Like, and you're not the only one in that boat who's maybe not getting the playing time that they think they should get, or the playing time that they think they deserve. And you've been a model student athlete, and I think it was good that we spent some extra time the past 2 practices, because you got to handle the ball and take shots and compete, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm wondering, you know, like, you got to realize you're a role model for kids out there, all right? And I'm wondering, what advice would you give to an athlete who's maybe going through some adversity in terms of maybe not thinking that they're getting what they should deserve on the court or on the rink or whatever? How do you think, if they love the game, what advice would you give them to fight through that?
I think it will be to work, but not just working. It's work hard, not just when you want it, not just when it's easy, just really when it's tough. And that's an advice that David from the men's basketball team that gave me, and I don't think he remembered telling me that, but one time he saw me like struggling and kind of like putting my heads down, and he came to me and said, "Leila, you know, when you have a bad practice, when you feel like you're going to a bad game, it's like it's that moment that you have to shift and even work harder." So I think that would be my advice.
I think it's great advice. Great advice. Now look at Leila, it's an honor and a privilege for me to coach you. I'm grateful for everything you've done. All right.
Thank you.
You know, we usually ask our athletes to pick a song of the week, but you know what? I took it upon myself to pick one for you. All right. And it's called Leila. All right. It's by Eric Clapton. It's an unbelievable song.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
And I'm hoping that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Now, look, I wish you continued success. All right. On the court and in the classroom. And you know what? Your number is going to be called. And you're going to need to be ready. You hear me?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm so happy you came on the show.
Thank you.
And let's have a great couple of games versus McGill this week.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's make the best of the situation.
Welcome back to the final segment in today's show. It's Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Still sitting here with Diane Angerville. We're going to preview our upcoming games and talk a bit about McGill. Talk a bit about some recruiting news that's happening. First off, this is the third week in a row we got back-to-back games against an opponent. We're going down on Thursday night to McGill. All right, and then they're visiting us on Saturday. McGill's a quality team, you know, won the national championship 2 years ago, finished fourth in the country last year. They've had a bit of a slow start because they graduated a couple of key people just like us. But make no mistake, I think that they have top five talent. They just haven't put it together yet. They're still putting all the pieces together. And I've said this all year that I believe they're a top five program. And lo and behold, last week they knocked off the number two ranked team in the country. And then they gave them a good game the second game around. So our hands are going to be full. All right. Coach Thorne does a great job down there. Ryan Thorne, a former Bishop's Gator, won a national championship as the point guard of the men's basketball team in 1998. He's been coach of the year in Canada at McGill. He's been there for a number of years. He coaches with the national team program. He does a great job, X and O's wise. He does a great job recruiting. And, you know, since I've been at Bishop's, we've knocked them off a couple times on our home court, but we have yet to really give them a game on the road.
Yep.
All right? Diane, what's your thoughts on that game on the road? You know, do you think the team's ready? Do you think we have a chance going into McGill?
I think we do have a chance, especially this year. We can match up with them, I would say, compared to the other teams. However, the key will be how we contain Sierra on the inside.
Yeah.
If we could contain her and make her pass the ball out, I think we should be in the game.
Yeah, obviously, there are two key people, I think, are Sierra Diarra. All right, she's a fourth-year transfer student. She played her first 3 years at Clemson University, so a major Division I school. And that's on the inside. That's their key player. On the outside, Gladys Hakazama, I believe her name is. She's a fourth-year kid who won three national championships at MoMo. She's won a national championship at McGill. She's a great decision maker. All right? She's a key player down the stretch of games. She's a great decision maker. And she's the person running the show for them. Now, do you have the stats on those two kids?
Yeah, so Sierra is averaging a double-double, 11.2 points per game and 10.1 rebound per game. And Gladys is averaging 10.8 points per game and 2.9 rebounds per game.
You know, I think Sierra, those stats are misleading because she's had a couple of monster games versus us.
Yes.
All right? So the rest of the league has kind of figured her out, and we're going to have to figure her out real quick.
Yes.
All right, are we fatigued? You know what? I've seen our team starting to come together, so I'm optimistic going into these games. You know, I think best case scenario would be obviously to sweep McGill, but I think realistically we could split with them if we manage to really compete. I think we're struggling on the defensive end of the floor, and I think we've addressed it this week, and I'm happy with that. So, you know, we're just going to have to bear down. And, you know, I'm hoping that we could have a strong start at McGill. You know, we started strong at UCAMP, all right? We started somewhat strong the week before at Concordia. We faltered at Concordia in the second quarter. We faltered at UCAMP in the second quarter. It'd be nice to have a solid first half and put ourselves in a position to win a basketball game.
Yes.
You know, for everybody out there, on Saturday night, we play them at 6 o'clock and the men play at 8, so we hope to see you there. Diane, what other games are on slate this week in our conference?
So on Wednesday, so today, Concordia will be at Laval. And on Thursday, we have Welby going to McGill. On Saturday, Laval will be at Concordia and McGill will come here to play us.
Well, those are so UCAM has the bye week. Next week, we have the bye week. But Laval and Concordia are hooking up twice. That's 1 versus 4. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, now I've often said this on this show that recruiting is probably the biggest part of my job, and thus far we've been having a good recruiting year. Like, one of our weaknesses this year has been our lack of depth, you know, and we just have a real young team, and you know, we're going to be graduating 2 players this year, Maude Archambault and Ashley Malum. So we have to load up on a big recruiting class. And I have 2 concerns with our current players: is we lack depth and we lack toughness, and we've addressed some of those needs. And up to now, we've signed 6 players for next year. So I'm just going to give a quick synopsis of our recruiting thus far. Last week, we signed Katarina Stupas, a 6-foot post from Dawson College. Dawson College is ranked number 1 in the country, so she's really going to add some toughness up front. Last night, Deborah Waji committed from Vanier College. She's a 5'11 wing player who's very athletic, so I think we're going to have a better ability to defend wings and contain strong perimeter players. We have signed Hannah McIntosh and Tiana Gosby, both from Champlain Lennoxville. Last week against the number 1 ranked team in the country, Dawson College, Hannah had 14 points and 9 rebounds, and Tiana had 7 points and 13 rebounds. They are both tough-nosed players who I believe can contribute right away, and they're very physical players who I think can handle the training load and can compete physically at the next level. We've also signed Maria Cordova as a backup point guard. She plays for Montmorency College, who's another top team in our country. And I think that she's going to make Amican Siciliano have to work a lot harder in practice. And we've signed Abigail Fawcett from Toronto, who's just a terrific shooter. All right, one of the top shooters I've seen at her age. She's only 17 right now, and sometimes it's tough for the Ontario girls making that transition. But right now, we've signed 6 players. Tomorrow, I'm heading down to Quebec City to meet with a 6'3 post player from St. Foy. All right, and we're actively recruiting one other girl from Montmorency and another girl from Edouard Montpetit. So, you know, we could have a monster recruiting year. And I think that once this year's up and we finalize our recruiting class, Bishops is going to be ready to compete every night on the court with the best teams in the program. And we're extremely excited. And I still believe we can do some damage this year. So I think some good news moving forward for our program. Now, Diane, we're at that the segment that everybody eagerly awaits every year, every week. And what do you have for your coaching tip of the week?
So last week we talked about the importance of correcting mistakes and reinforcing them. A mistake that I often see is bad spacing from kids, especially when you draw a play and then it doesn't go as planned. So then they hold the ball and they don't know what to do. So the biggest problem is often everyone is caught staring at the ball and there's no ball movement. So then the defensive set, so then there's nothing and the team ends up usually throwing the ball away and we turn it over. So a general rule that I have is you move when the ball moves, and that applies for offense and defense. So then you also have to teach the kids spacing and how to move without the ball. So then maybe in practice you could draw different scenarios. if the person with the ball is driving middle, this is where you need to be. Baseline, this is where you need to be. So then you're always available to the person with the ball, and then they'll have options. Maybe they could pass the ball or maybe pass fake. Then you have different options, so the offense is still moving. So what we could do to have better spacing and ball movement is to start with different basic offenses like pass and cut drills, then maybe move to pass and screen away drills. Maybe we could start even with no ball, so the players could be familiar with just moving without the ball. And then after you start with the ball, have them make the correct passes, make the right cuts at the right time. And then if, let's say, the players are doing the drill and they're not in the right spot, as a coach, you can't be afraid to blow the whistle and tell the girls to freeze, so then they see that they're in the wrong spot, and then you correct their mistakes, and then they'll get a habit of running to the right spots, and then it'll become second nature. So even if a play breaks down, they can still maybe space out and be available to the ball handler.
I think it's once again great advice. I think from what I'm hearing from you, I see some coaches influencing the way you're coaching a bit. And I you know, when you say freeze, it makes me think of Coach Cassavy, who's on our staff and coaches at Champlain Lennoxville. Yeah. I think it's great advice. I think a key thing you're talking about is when the ball moves, players move.
Yeah.
And it's so important on both sides of the ball. All right? Just picture this in any sport, hockey. The puck moves, players have to move. If you're not moving, you're easy to guard.
Yes.
All right? Now, and I think the big thing with that is, all right, the first two steps from offense to defense are huge. The first two steps from defense to offense are huge. That's transition. When the ball moves defensively, all right, when the ball moves, the defense has to move, jump to the ball. The offense has to move. And if one person is not moving, that's the weak link, and that's the person you have to attack.
Yes.
And it's very easy to identify. So it's, and you know what, in the end, when you talk about moving, all right, a body in motion stays in motion. A body that stops usually stands. And basically, you know, players that I love to coach are players that have motors, all right? Motors that run and rev at a high level. There's plenty of time. What younger kids do not realize, and even some elite athletes don't realize, is that in the game of basketball, there's so much recovery time, all right? Every time the referee blows the whistle, that's when you stand and you can recover.
Yeah.
When the play is live, you must remain in an athletic position. You must be focused, and you must be concentrating on what spot do I have to get to next? What job do I have to do next? So I think, again, it's great advice for kids out there and for coaches. Make sure your players are focused and they're moving at all times with a purpose. That about wraps up our show for this week. All right, hopefully we'll be back next week, and we're going to have some great news to bring you on our two games with McGill. I do feel that this team is starting to gel. All right, I saw it in practice this morning. We've been working on team defense, and I'm excited to see how we fare on Thursday night and Saturday night versus McGill. And until then, I wish everybody a great end of week. Diane, have a great
thank you,
couple
Coach.
Of days, and we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.